We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelavis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Leila Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Leah ben Abba and Leah bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yoshua ben Shimon Dov. It is Leah bas Avram's yurtzeit this week, as well as Karen's father just passed away last night. So we should have all of them in mind as we learn together this morning. So we are up to stage two of our group of Mishnayos that have to do with the next world, preparing for the next world. We're going to briefly review those Mishnayos together that we saw last week, not the whole list. Last week, if you remember, we went back a few Mishnayos to see connections between previous Mishnayos and these two Mishnayos. Today, we're just going to reread the two Mishnayos that are relevant. And those are, for those following on Facebook, if you want to follow, it's Perkei Avos, Perek 4, Mishnah 16 and 17. So in Mishnah 16, we have a statement of Rabbi Yaakov. And for those following on Zoom, it's the top of the page that I'm sharing. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Yaakov says, Ha'olam hazeh dome lefrozdor bifnei ha'olam haba. This world is like an entranceway into the next world. Haskein atzmecha b'prozdor k'dei shetikanes l'traklin. Prepare yourself in the entranceway so that you can enter the banquet hall. You can enter the palace. So we started asking questions last week in terms of what is the metaphor? What does it add to the idea that basically the takeaway is to prepare yourself in this world for the next? What's being added by the additional metaphor about the entranceway and the banquet hall? That's one Mishnah. Then the next Mishnah is the same speaker, Rabbi Yaakov, Hu Haya Omer, Yafesha Achas Bechuva Maisim Tovim Ba'olam Hazeh. Better is 1 hour of repentance and good deeds in this world, Mikol Chaye Olam Haba, than the entire next world. So the emphasis of the first part of this Mishnah is that there are things that can be accomplished in this world that surpass the importance and the benefits of the next world. V'yafa shah achas, he continues, shall koras ruach ba'olam haba, 1 hour of koras ruach, tranquility, in the next world is better than the entire, mikol chayolam hazeh, the entire entirety of this world, of this life. So we have a comparison between things that can be accomplished in this world being better than things in the next world, and then elements of the next world that are better than this world. So what is this comparison teaching us? What are the takeaways? And what is the metaphor about preparing for this world? So we're going to scroll down now to new material that we have not done last week. For those interested in reviewing, I was going to say go check it out on YU Torah, but I realize that I have not uploaded yet. So soon, check it out on YU Torah, and then you can we can review. So we are now up to the, if you remember, this last part we'll do again, because I thought it was a nice idea. In the second Mishnah, this concept of koras ruach, what does it mean to have koras ruach? So Rashi in source number 7 says, lashon niskarara daito, that it means a coldness of your mind. Shemiskareres u'misyasheves daito alav mipnei asimcha. When we are happy, when we have good, positive emotions, our brains are relaxed, our body is relaxed, and we think about that in terms of being in a cool state. In contrast, as the Rashbam in the next source points out, we have the opposite description for negative emotions, like anger. We're in a hot state. It's chamimut. It's the temperature rises. That's the metaphor we use because that's our physiological reaction to negative emotions, is that our body gets all worked up and overheats, as it were. So the language here that we are aspiring to is koras ruach, is a calmness, is our body is in a cool state. And that's the koras ruach of olam haba, which we can't even imagine on some level, because that is the benefit of the next world. That's how we ended off last week, and now we're going to see some new ideas. So the next source is Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah analyzes and adds some important messages and takeaways for us that we can apply to our own lives. And let's jump in here. So the end of the first line, he says, he quotes the Mishnah, and then he says, what does it mean to have, it's better, there's a second Mishnah, it's better to have tshuva and ma'isim tovim in this world, that 1 hour is better than all of the next world. So he starts analyzing. Shebisha'a ktana ba'olam hazeh, adam marviach ha'olam haba. So he understands this Mishnah, that the message, the takeaway is that there you can gain so much from 1 second, from 1 moment, the power of that 1 moment in this world, that you can gain so much from that, you can get the entire next world based on that 1 moment. And he brings some powerful examples from Chazal of stories where people who were not so great, they're not role models, and if anything, they were wicked people, as it were, who in 1 moment were able to transform and change their lives to the point that they were able to inherit the next world. And the idea for us is, as well as we'll read the story, is that we don't necessarily have to get to such a low before we realize the power of transformation and the power that 1 moment can yield for us. So let's go through one story. Ma'isa shel Yosi ben Yo'ezer. And the reason why we're going to do this story, there's a few stories we can choose, but this story we actually saw, because we have seen, if you remember from the first chapter, this Tana of Yosi ben Yo'ezer. So Yosi ben Yo'ezer, here's the story. Shaya Yotze leHarig. He was going out, he was going to be killed by the enemies. Upagabo Yokim Ish Tsroros, Harasha Rochev al Sus. So he encountered this person on the way to be killed of Yokim Ish Tsroros. He was a wicked person, he's riding on a horse. Amar le chazi suse de arkavcha marcha, v'chazi suse de arkavan maron. So he started taunting him. And he says, look at the different horses that we are on. You know, look in the direction you're going, and look at the fancy direction that I'm going in. Amar lo, Yosi ben Yo'ezer says back to this wicked person, im lo ovre ritzono, kach la ose ritzono, lo kol shekein. If this is the reward that you get as somebody who is violating God's will, all the more so, how much reward for those who do His will they get? Amar lo v'chi yesh osei ritzono yoser mimcha. So he says, okay, it gets back to what we spoke about last week. You can say, look how great the reward is for tzaddikim, for righteous people. But he looks at Yosi ben Yo'ezer and he says, aren't you righteous? And look where your life is going. You're about to be killed. So why are you trying to say, why are you trying to prove to me that look how good it is to be righteous because you're going to get rewarded? You're about to be killed. So Amar lo, im la ose ritzono kach, kal v'chomer la ovre ritzono. So he flips the logic back and he says, look, if I'm getting punished and I'm good, imagine the punishment for those who are bad. Allah belibo ke'esh bin oris. For some reason, this idea penetrated his heart like a fire. And the Rabbeinu Yonah explains, Perish haven bidvarav, ki amar im tov l'rashayim over ritzon ba'olam hazeh, kol kach al achas kama v'kama l'tzadikim ba'olam haba. So the enemy here, the Rasha, who I believe was his nephew, so the idea penetrated and he realized, like, okay, so now, remember, we have to enter into the realm of, it's not just about this world, the next world has to be taken into account as well. That the reward that the righteous are going to get in the next world is going to be double, triple, quadrupled, so much more so than what the Rishayim get in this world. So yeah, so you're on your nice horse now, but in the next world you're going to get nothing, and I'm going to inherit a great world. And that's the message. So that's the story about Yosi ben Yo'ezer. And the idea after that is that once he internalized this, right? So he says, the end of the story is, ukishamo kach, right? When the enemy, when his nephew heard this, halach v'kibo alav arba misos beisted. He basically, if you have any children with you, you can close their ears. But he went and committed suicide. He punished himself with the various punishments that Beis Din would give out. as a result. And then the story ends. Again, this story itself has to be analyzed. But he says, "Kedisa Hasam Amr of Yossi ben Yoezer b'shakala hikdimani legan Eden." So when Yossi ben Yoezer sees that his nephew goes and takes his own life, he actually, Yossi ben Yoezer's reflection on that is that his nephew, through that action, was able to get Olam Haba. He got rewarded for that. Right? So again, how this fully works and how reward and punishment works, we're not going to get too much into, but just from a broad perspective, the message Rabbi Yonah is bringing out is that this wicked person was able, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer's estimation, inherit the world to come just by this powerful moment where he internalized the Musar concept that there's reward in the next world for righteousness and there's punishment for wickedness. He was able to do tshuva in that 1 second. So in 1 second, you can do tshuva. In 1 second, you can be meisim, you can do good actions and good deeds, and that can transform your life and it can transform the lives of others. So the takeaway of the Mishnah, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, is know the power of a moment and how much you can accomplish and how much you can get rewarded for positive religious action in those moments, tshuva and maisim tovim. And that's why Rabbeinu Yonah continues, "Valzeh nemar yafa sha'achas, ve'ein shevach olam hazeh ki im lezeh," and this is what the praise of this world is. This is what this world's all about. This world is all about doing tshuva and doing maisim tovim. That's why it's such a powerful opportunity that we have when we're in this world to do these things. And that's and if we find ourselves that we're not doing tshuva and maisim tovim in this world, then what are we spending our time doing? The essence of this world is tshuva and maisim tovim. And he quotes some ideas from Shlomo HaMelech, Gam Shlomo HaMelech HaMavil HaOlam B'Sefer Koheles, even though Shlomo says how this world is nothing, there's no purpose to it, right? But what is the purpose? There's Mekomos Ma'atim, Mishabech HaChayim, and Amesim, Gam Oso HaShevach, and Enokim L'Tshuva Ma'isim Tovim. It's all about Tshuva Ma'isim Tovim, Mibnei Shehein Mo'ilim Balam HaZeh, V'lo Balam HaBa, Shein Donin Asa Adam Ela B'Shas Misa. Just do Tshuva Ma'isim Tovim. That's the message. Now, what about the second part of the Mishnah that said tshuva maisim tovim is better than the next world, but koras ruach in the next world is better than this world? So Rabbeinu Yonah elaborates on that second part. What does that mean? Kemosha amar Razal, kol anevim lo nisnabu eli mosa mashiach v'alolam haba ayin lo ra'asa elokim zu asecha. Right? So basically, we don't even imagine, we can't fathom the beauty and the amazingness of the next world. We don't even know what's in store for us from the koras ruach, as it were. We don't even know how to define it because it's going to be such a powerful and amazing experience. Ein lo dimyon. There's no way of even imagining it. Okay? And that's why the message here is that to keep hopeful and to look forward to that experience, even though we don't fully understand it. Now, there are commentaries who we're not going to get into. Perhaps we can do a separate shiur on it, but to me it was somewhat tangential to our main points, who jump off, like the Abarbanel jumps off on this topic and then gives you a whole rundown of what Olam Haba is according to different commentaries. So the Mishnah itself does not talk about that, and perhaps if there's interest, you can tell me and you could vote with your afterwards by emailing me. Maybe we can spend some time doing that at a different point in time of what Olam Haba is, of what the difference between the next world is and Yemos Mashiach and the different views on that. But for now we're gonna bypass that. I can sense Chaim is gonna vote for that because he's asked for that in the past. Okay, so let's continue now, assuming that we're not gonna touch upon that. So the Medrash Shmuel here, some nice, not more ideas here. So the Medrash Shmuel goes back to a question we raised last week, and that is that the Mishnah seems to be contradicting itself. What's the contradiction? So we said that the first part of the Mishnah said it's better to have one hour of tshuva maisim tovim in this world than the next world, right? So what's better, the next world or this world? So it seems to be saying that there's elements of this world that are better. And then the second part of the Mishnah seems to be saying that the next world is unfathomable and better and more powerful. So which one is it? So he says here, V'yeshul datik b'mishnah, second paragraph, denir dekasha resha seifa. It's a contradiction between the first part and the second half. Ki b'reshik tani yafesha achas b'tshuva ma'isim tovim b'alam hazeh mikol chayelam haba. One moment of tshuva ma'isim tovim in this world is better than the entire next world. Upshita dechayelam haba shel koras ruach ka'amar u'v'seifa. And he says that it's the assumption is that the comparison is of the best part of the next world. Right, it's not saying that there wouldn't be a comparison. It's not saying that tshuva ma'isim tovim is better than suffering in the next world. Right? That's obvious. Right, when it's saying tshuva ma'isim tovim are better than the next world, it means it's better than the best part of the next world. Right, that's that second line here. Upshita dechay olam haba shel koras ruach ka'amar. Of course, it's saying in the first half that it's better to have tshuva ma'isim tovim in this world than even the koras ruach in the next world. But then that sets up the contradiction. The second clause is saying that the koras ruach is even better than tshuva ma'isim tovim in this world. So which one is it? You can't have it both ways. Either tshuva ma'isim tovim in this world is better than koras ruach in the next world, or the koras ruach of the next world is better than tshuva ma'isim tovim in this world. But the Mishnah seems to contradict itself from one section to the next. So here's what the answer is. Can anybody think, I'm not going to ask for participation right now because it's just going to get a little too complicated with the Zoom. I haven't had good experience with it as of this point. But if you just think in your heads how to resolve this contradiction, assuming these structures, assuming that you can't change any of the clauses here. The clause is tshuva ma'isim tovim in this world is better than koras ruach in the next world, and koras ruach in the next world is better than tshuva ma'isim tovim in this world. So how do you get around that contradiction without changing one of those assumptions? So think about it for a second, and now let's see what the Medrash Shmuel has to say. The efshar lefarish, the hachi kamar, ki be'enav yisbarach yafesha achas b'tshuva ma'isim tovim b'olam hazeh. So he says the difference is perspective. Whose perspective is each Mishnah written according to? Each clause written to? According to whom is tshuva ma'isim tovim better in this world? According to God. From God's perspective, He wants tshuva ma'isim tovim in this world more than anything else in the next world. Mikol aschar shenosin b'olam haba. Yeah, he's going to give you reward in the next world, and he enjoys that. But he enjoys it more when we do tshuva ma'isim tovim in this world.
And
he gets into something a little bit more complicated because it's referring to something he mentioned that we skipped. But from God's perspective, tshuva ma'isim tovim are better. From our perspective, you know, we're looking forward to the next world. The next world is better in our eyes, but it would be interesting for us to think about the power of tshuva ma'isim tovim as well in this world and sort of take a godly perspective, as it were, not to worry necessarily about the schar that we're going to get in the next world, but the tshuva ma'isim tovim itself, that's what God enjoys, so maybe we should also enjoy it and try to emulate God, as it were, from this creative reading of the Medrash Shmuel. And now he says one more idea. Inami. Epshar, kishin is dakek omro milas ba olam hazeh, shimiyu seres. Dapshita de tshuva ma'isim tovim, leka elab olam hazeh. So he does a very close reading here. What's the close reading? Is that there seems to be an extra words. What are the extra words? The extra words are tshuva ma'isim tovim ba olam hazeh. Of course it's ba olam hazeh. When else would you do tshuva ma'isim tovim? It's inherent in tshuva ma'isim tovim, that it means ba'olam hazeh. So the fact that it adds the words ba'olam hazeh has to get us thinking maybe there's something to be learned from those extra words. Ela hakavana lomar, ki kishadam hu ba'olam hazeh, nir be'einav ki yafalo sha'achas b'tshuva ma'isim tovim, yoser mikol chai olam haba. Sheyesh lo kfar b'schar, ma sha'asa ad ata, ki chofetz laharich yoser ba'olam hazeh, kedei l'sagel yoser, v'lo l'maher leilich l'kabel scharo. He flips it from what he said, from what we just explained. He says that maybe, what does it mean, Yafet? It's all from the perspective of the human. Maybe when we're in this world, Be'olam Hazeh, Tshuva Ma'isim Tovim is better. We think that Tshuva Ma'isim Tovim is better in this world. That's our mindset. The opposite of what he just said before, of what we just explained before. Tshuva Ma'isim Tovim, Be'olam Hazeh is greater. We think in this world it's greater. Ama shekfar asa, aval achar p'tiraso enoken, ela be'enav yafa sha'acha shel koras ruach shenosin lo be'olam haba, mikol chai olam hazeh. And then it flips when we move on, then we realize that koras ruach is so much more powerful than anything we experience in this world. So the two ways out of this is to create two different time perspectives or being perspective. So who is the subject? And once you can alter the subject, you can alter the message. So my mindset in this world might be that Tshuva Ma'isim Tovim is better, but when I get to the next world, I realize like I couldn't even fathom and imagine how powerful and amazing that this experience is. So now my perspective switches, and obviously that Kores Ruach now is much more powerful than even the great experiences of Tshuva Ma'isim Tovim in this world. Or perhaps, as we said before, it flips from when it's God's perspective, then He desires that Tshuva Ma'isim Tovim that we do in this world. Okay, so that was two interesting readings from the Medrash Shmuel. One other interesting reading, and then we have a long source to do. So the Sfas Emes. So the Sfas Emes writes as follows. And I'm going to preface this with another idea. Does anybody know what the word Sha'a means? Right, so sha'a, here we've been translating it as moment, right, or time. Can anybody think of another place in Tanakh where we have the word sha'a, where it doesn't mean time or moment? Sarit, you can unmute yourself.
Okay, thank you. Sha'a means to receive. We say when we daven. Sha'a, when Hashem wants to accept our tefillot and our prayers. Sha'a v'lo sha'a.
Okay, to receive. That's what
we're talking about
with
an olive usually.
Isn't it?
Where is it?
I know, you
gotta
go find it for me.
Yeah. I'm doing that.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. And it could be that we're talking about the same thing.
Oh, it is with an
ayin. It is with an ayin. And what's the what?
It's in Ritzei.
Yeah.
It's when God has to listen and accept your prayers. He doesn't always do that, and it doesn't mean our in that context.
Awesome. So the word she'e or sha'a doesn't just mean to a moment or time. It can also mean to, I'll rephrase what you're saying now. It could also mean to turn to accept or to turn to. And where do we, so it's great that you saw that in Ritzei. Where do we see that in Tanakh? When, say it's all, to say it again.
Hashem did not turn to pebbles of Mincha.
Awesome. Hashem did not turn to the korban of Hevel.
Right.
So it says, Vayisha Hashem el Hevel. No, he turned to Hevel. He didn't turn to Kain. Vayisha Hashem el Hevel v'mchato v'el Kain v'el mchato lo sha'a. Right? So God did not turn or accept. And what Sarit is adding here is that we say that in Ritzei also, v'tfilatam she'ei means to turn to accept. Okay, so now, with that creative reading, go back to our Mishnah. Yafa sha'a achas ba'olam hazeh. What does it mean, sha'a? Not just moment, not just time, but a turning to, a mindfulness, right? One moment of focus, of deciding to switch our mindset towards tshuva and ma'asim tovim, a turn to that, a decision to focus on that, is more powerful than anything in the next world. Okay, so that's one thing. It's not my idea. There are others that say that. But now look at this Sfas Emes. So Sfas Emes here says in source number 11, Od sham yafa sha'achas b'olam hazeh b'tshuva ma'asim tovim mikol chalam haba. So he says, yesh lomar, sha'a lashon ratzon. So this is related. Right? What we're basically doing is we're giving creative readings to the word sha'a that doesn't just mean time or moment. So sha'a can mean to turn to. The Sfas Emes here translates sha'a as ratzon, as will, which is related to turning to and accepting. Kisha adam yesh lo tamid tshuka v'ratzon echad lizdabek bo yisbarach. When a person has a desire, a constant, consistent desire and a will to connect, to cleave to God, and you skip the brackets, v'emes haratzon v'atshuka hu adavar she'en la'sigo ba'olam haba kol kach mo ba'olam hazeh. And that's not something you can attain in the next world. That's something that must be worked on in this world. Right, so you can't, once you get to the next world, you can't go back and accomplish things that you didn't accomplish in this world. So it's now, it's in this world that we want the ratzon, we want that tshuka, we want that desire. So he's adding another element to this, that tshuva ma'asim tovim is not just about doing tshuva and doing good acts. There has to be a desire, a clinging, an aspiration to continue. It's the mindset, it's the emotional experience of it as well. It's not just about straight up tshuva ma'asim tovim. So he adds the understanding of sha'a as from the idea of lashon, of ratzon, and I think that that's related to this idea of sha'a as being turning to and accepting, being mindful, paying attention, and aspiring to cleave to God. And that one moment, it still means moment, but that one turning, that simple turning, that simple ratzon, is more powerful than anything we can accomplish in the next world. Okay, so I want to, I'm deciding if we should come back to this or do it now. Let us, it's a long piece. All right, let's start it. I'm not sure we're going
to. Nobody has anything else to do. Nobody's going anywhere.
Right. Okay, we'll do it, and we'll go through with it. I'm not sure we're gonna finish the whole thing. We do have to finish before 10:30 because 10:30 is pancake making. So it's on the same line also. So you guys can stay and make pancakes 10:30, but we'll be done before that. So the Pirkei Moshe writes as follows. He says, "Ach yipol bo safek atzum." Lo ne'ala mi'enai p'nei ha'ma'ayanim. So there's mi'enai p'nei ha'ma'ayanim. If you're paying attention, you're reading this carefully, you can't lose this. You can't not see this. V'usha omrim gzero sosro zulazu. And this is what the Medrash Shmuel pointed out, even though Pirkei Moshe is before, actually slight contemporaries. The statements contradict each other. Ki ba'omrim shi'afe sha'achas b'tshuv ma'asim tovim ba'olam hazeh mikol chaylam haba. So he frames it the same point, is that the first clause seems to say that tshuva ma'asim tovim are better than anything in the next world, and the second clause seems to be saying that koras ruach is better than anything in this world, including tshuva ma'asim tovim. So how can you resolve that? So he says as follows. V'yesh od b'zeh safik gadol mizeh. He says, I even have a stronger question. Ki eich yitachin lomar b'shnei dvarim mischalfim b'min, af ki b'sug, sheze yafa mizeh. He says you have a problem of comparisons. How are you comparing one thing to another if they're not necessarily comparable. Shlo yomar sha ha lo ven tov maskamas hakulos van nigun veyosam mubatim mitchalafim echad lachush haraus veechad lachush hashemea. So you can't compare, you know, apples and oranges, as it were. Things that relate to hearing and things that relate to seeing. They're different senses. You can't compare and contrast those. So because of this, there are those that totally explain this Mishnah differently. We're going to skip that for now. So he says as follows. And this is where he gets to his important point. What's, again, question one is the contradiction. Question two is, what's the comparison? How do you compare? You're comparing apples and oranges. You're comparing this world to the next world. They're not comparable. Valtzada hechor hagadol omer ani b'teretz hasfekos halalu. Sheba'amisas hakdama achas yisyashvu ma'amari ha'shalom hazal nach. And I have to give you a prelude. And if with this prelude, you're going to understand this Mishnah better. Vihi, ki amaisim tovim hanizkarim po, heim kinui el ahava b'dvarim ha'alokim kefi ha'akara behem. When it says Tshuva and Maisim, when it says Maisim Tovim, what is Maisim Tovim a catchphrase for? What's it a word for? It's a word, it's a metaphor, it's representing, and this is actually a good question, we didn't ask it, maybe we should have asked it, what exactly is included? Maisim Tovim is just, it's a broad statement. What's included in Maisim Tovim? So he says that Maisim, according to him, we just assume, we think good deeds, okay, but what are good deeds? So he says that Maisim Tovim here is a catchphrase, it's a hint towards Ahava bidvar melukim, loving spiritual things. Loving spiritual things. That's what Maisim Tovim means. Shekulam nikru Maisim Tovim. That's what it means. Spiritual things. Biyosa hava poel haseichel ha-maisi kenoda. So he says that this love that I'm referring to is what helps affect and helps instigate action. It is through desire, it's motivation. And Ava, according to all of the philosophers of the 16th century and before, was called Maisa, action. And we spoke about this as well. He writes, you Maisim Tovim Gamba Olam Abba. And because of that, he now does a little trick for us. He says, if we're talking about Ahava, if that's what Maisim Tovim means, there's also Ahava in the next world. Shu Olam HaNeshamos, Kedasa Rambam. It's the land of the Neshamos, like the Rambam states. Kisham Tia Ahava Aza B'Dvarim HaMusagim Bilti Ma'ikla. Because there we're going to have a strong love, a strong motivation, desire. There's going to be a lot of that experience in the next world as well. V'chein HaTshuva, Hi HaKara B'Gnus HaMaisim HaRaim. And what's tshuva? Tshuva is recognizing that there is that bad things are bad. That they're to denigrate bad things, that's what tshuva represents here. And that's something that nefashos can get as well. The nefesh can understand that. Yakiru v'yedu es kol ha'maisim asher asu ba'olam hazeh. The nefesh in the next world will know, what will be able to experience looking back on what was done, im tovim ra, if they were good or bad. Right, so the assumption here is that in the next world, we're going to be able to have these emotional experiences of regret for doing bad things, as well as happiness for doing correct things. As Chazal say, K'mayim Razal, La'asid lavo mevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yetzer Hara, V'shochto l'fnei HaTzadikim v'fnei HaRashayim, V'rabim HaMarim Ke'elu L'Razal, Shebo HaKavana Hazos. He says there are many statements in Chazal, that, and we're familiar with them, that basically says when we get to the next world, we're going to be able to look back at this world and feel bad about what we did and feel good about what we did good. Right, so that emotional experience, what he's talking here about in terms of that ahava, is still going to exist in the next world. So there's elements of that in this world, and there's elements of that in the next world. And then he says as follows: the same goes for the second half. Kamo kena koras ruach, what tainig amusag ba'olam haneshamos. What we said was that in the next world, the koras ruach of next world, you're not going to be able to even, right? We can't even experience. We don't even know what that feels like, as it were, in the sense that it's going to be so amazing we can't compare it. So, that's the benefit, that's the beauty of the next world, that pleasure, to think spiritual things, to love spiritual things, to connect to spiritual things. Hinehu nimsa gam kein b'olam hazeh. And this is the reason why I thought this is a powerful idea. Those things exist in this world as well. That love of spiritual things, that connection exists here as well. That koras ruach of the next world is available and attainable here. Im she'ein b'neim hadmus ki atainaga musag sham hu gadol ma'od ki atainaga musag po. Yes, it's a difference of tremendous quantity, perhaps even a qualitative difference, but it still exists. Right? In the next world, it's going to be so much more. It's going to be on steroids, as it were. But it still exists in this world. Because in this world we're confined by our and limited by our physicality, by our bodies, and therefore we can't fully experience that spiritual pleasure. And because we can't experience that spiritual pleasure in its totality, it's limited, but doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So far what he's set up in these two paragraphs are that from our Mishnah, from this Mishnah, the two clauses of the Mishnah, the tshuva and maisim tovim of the first part, which we say are greatly experienced in this world and better than the next world, those tshuva and maisim tovim also exist in the next world. And the koras ruach that we say is better than everything of next world, that's better than everything in this world, also exists in this world. So there's elements of both in both worlds. Now, with this introduction, he's ready to bring home his point. Last paragraph. Uvahakdama zu, shiamitas esli be'emes. He says, I think this is emes la'amito, truth of truths. Yizbaru ma'amari ze'as shalom b'teret shteas hasfekos keniskar. So now both our contradiction and the fact that we're comparing apples and oranges are both going to be satisfied. And it's the best explanation, better than the other explanations as well. To bring people to do mitzvos and do good actions. This world, and this connects actually both Mishnayos, this world is like an entranceway. This mindset of thinking of this world as an entranceway is essential to getting us to do tshuva ma'isim tovim. V'ua beis shar leheichal ha'melach. It's right by the entranceway to the palace of the king. V'olam haba hu anim shal etraklin. And the next world is the palace. Shua heichal asher bo'melach. That's where the king is. U'mishi yitakin atzmo b'prozdor. If we can prepare ourselves in this entranceway, in this world, that we are ready to experience and to witness and to see God in the next world, then we can enter. Right? We passed the test, as it were. Ah, if we don't prepare ourselves in this world, to stand before God, we're not going to be allowed in. This entranceway is this world. This is where we can attain spirituality and perfection. And the palace is the next world. That's the world where we benefit and we enjoy what we have gained and prepared for in this world. And here's where the metaphor gets even better. He says, when I'm standing at the entranceway to the king, what am I experiencing? I'm experiencing pleasure, excitement. When you're on the line to go to a baseball game, right? What are you experiencing? Depends if you like baseball, right? But excitement. I'm on the line. Pick whatever experience you enjoy doing, and you're not there yet. You're on the line. You're excited. Im she'eino doma l'tainaga musa glober oso p'nei ha'melech ve'echolo kul l'fnai l'fnim. Yet, it's not necessarily the same pleasure that you're going to get once you're in there. It's the same thing. This world, that pleasure, that excitement, we're in the entranceway. So there should be pleasure and excitement for what we're going to experience in the next world. Yet it's not going to be the same level of pleasure and excitement because we're not there yet. So in this world, if you want, you could get pleasure in this world related to the next world. It's when we think in spiritual terms, when we look at things from a godly perspective. Even though that the reality of what we are hoping and striving and the experience that we're looking for is in the next world, but we can do it, we can experience that on some level in this world as we're excited to go into, to prepare for that next world. But that requires preparation. I'm working towards it. If I don't prepare, or if I don't buy the ticket, as it were, if I don't wait online and do all the proper preparations to get in, don't go through the security check, all it's not going to happen. I'm not going to get in. And then when you get in, you're going to be looking back at everything you had to do to get in. Because you still need to, you know, you're in. You don't want to get kicked out, as it were, I guess. So what I believe his point is, and I think the reason why I think it's a powerful message, and it's going to set us up for a few other points that are going to bring the point home even stronger, is that there's a textual point here, is that he's explaining the comparing and contrasting of these things. How can you compare apples and oranges? They're not apples and oranges. They both have elements of the same things with them, with each other. And then how can you contradict yourself? Well, it's not really a contradiction, because we're saying since there are elements of both in each, that there's the excitement and the preparation. Really, let's put it this way. What's the least common denominator, as it were? What's the point that holds this world and the next world together, although it's experienced in different forms and different ways? It's spirituality. It's what he calls Dvarim Elokim. So in the next world, we fully experience that, and the pleasure is unimaginable on some level, yet it's still possible to experience that now if we take the perspective of preparation, of I can get there, I can work towards that goal of spirituality, I can experience a taste of it in this world if that's what I focus on. And if I focus on that, then I can experience some of that in this world. And then when I get there, this is the point that he's adding, we haven't seen at all yet. When I get to the next world, there's also an element of looking backwards. And if I want to experience that koras ruach in the next world, that koras ruach in the next world is built off of the preparation of how I got there. So they go hand in hand. Because when I look, what is koras ruach in the next world? What are we talking about? The definition of koras ruach in the next world, according to what he's saying, and this makes a lot of sense, is the nachas, as it were, that I'm getting from myself. Right? That I'm looking back and saying, wow, I did a great job. I got there. I did these spiritual things, and now I'm able to, it pays off in the long run. But if I don't, and I look back, I'm going to regret it. And then it's going to be painful. So they really go hand in hand. And the life of Tshuva, Ma'asim Tovim in this world helps build towards that Koras Ruach in the next world. That's why these aren't apples and oranges. It's the same story, just experienced from slightly different perspectives and slightly different intensities, but it's all about ahava, it's all about love of God and spiritual things, and the more we prepare in this world, and that's pleasure in this world, and then that will give us even greater pleasure in the next world. So that's a long-winded point to get to, but I think a powerful one once we get there. The Sfas Emes here, and two more sources, and then we'll call it a day. So the Sfas Emes here says as follows. This is the second Sfas Emes we're seeing. Olam hazeh doma leprozdor b'fnei olam haba. So af she'isa gam ken yafa sha'achas b'tshuva ma'asim tovim mechai olam haba. So we have both of these ideas. This world is opening, leading to the next world, and this world, Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim, are better. So how do we put these together? Ach gam binyan el mazeh nimsa ha'ara genuza v'hu me'en olam haba. This is another way of framing what the Pirkei Moshe says in more Hasidic terminology here, is that this world, you can experience a me'en olam haba. And we say this in Zmiros. Me'en olam haba, right? It's me'en, Shabbos me'en olam haba, but this world is me'en olam haba. And you can experience a taste of that. It's hidden. It's genuza. It's there. The sparks are there. We have to find them. We have to dig them up. Rak shemiluvash bolam hazeh v'alavush pruzdor. They're clothed. They're hiding in this world. That it's the world of the pruzdor, of the entranceway, and that's why it's hidden. Perish kefi masha adam oved bilavush hazeh shalolis dabek bo. Once we're able to take off the elements of the prusdor of this world, the physicality of this world, if we could take those off, then we can reveal the spirituality of the next world in this world. The light, the or agonizbo, v'hu atraklin, that's the next world. V'zesha kasav hasken atzmecha b'pruzdor. Prepare yourself in this world. What does it mean, prepare yourself in this world? She'ikra atikun binyanei agashmius lifrosh me'aklipa. To take off all of the externalities, all of the things that stand in the way of us connecting to God. V'yidei zen isgala apnimius. And then we get to the core, to the kernel, to the spirituality that lies underneath everything. V'zesha kasav taking off the klipas of this world, again, in Hasidic terminology, is to reveal the light that is hidden. V'hu atzmo tshuva. And that itself is the tshuva process. Sheshav l'pnimios hachios shebedivar alam hazeh. You're getting to the core, you're returning to the core of the insides, of the beauty, of the life, of what this world's all about. Lizdabik Bishoresh Hadavar, to get to the essence of the thing. Vayidezem mala kol shorsho v'tshuva. That's what the concept of tshuva is, according to the Sfas Emes, to bring everything to its root. V'chein ma'isim tovim. The same thing comes to ma'isim tovim. Aperi she'ose kol davar bedveikus or ki tov aganus bo. You're doing everything with connecting to that light. The place itself is in a dark place, right? Things are hidden in dark places, and it's our job. It's our job to reveal that what's hidden, and that is by focusing on the spirituality. Raka Iker Shekolam Azeh Beinei Adam Keprozdor. By looking at this world as just a preparation, that all the physicality, all the materialism is a distraction, and to reveal that pnimius, that spirituality, that kernel that's hidden underneath, that's what the message of this Mishnah is. One more idea, and then we'll recap. The Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim of Volozhiner. So Rav Chaim of Volozhiner writes as follows. Trying to think here if we do the whole thing. All right, let's start. We'll see how long I want to stop by 10:15, so we'll see how long it takes, but we'll get to the main point. Halam azed domo lepruzdor, yadua masha amru bekama makomos, ki kol maise adam bemitzvos, heim scharo, v'hu ba'atzmo osalo aschar. I think it's a very nice way of closing out. So he says that, and we've seen this idea before, that the things we do in this world, the mitzvos, right? So far we've sort of set up that this world is preparing for the next world, and the reward is in the next world. So the Ruach Chaim Volozhiner says, keep in mind, we have a counterpoint here, and this is really embedded in what the Sfas Emes and the Pirkei Moshe were saying. The counterpoint is that the mitzvos themselves are schar as well, meaning doing the actions, heim scharo. Right? That's the reward is in the action itself. The reward is to to bask in the glory of God. By Yoser Gadol Miskar of Yoser, right? And the more you do, the closer you get. To go closer and closer and closer, that's the oneg. By learning Torah, by following the Torah, by doing the mitzvos, we get closer. Every mitzvah is a famous idea, has a specific body part that's related to it. So once we through every mitzvah that we do, we get closer to God and we get closer to this enjoyment that we're looking for. In Cain, Harei Adam Oseh La'atzmo Halavush L'man Yuchal Lichnos L'Kabel Aschar. It is through each mitzvah, and it's a beautiful imagery, through each mitzvah, we are literally preparing ourselves to getting, or we're preparing our bodies, we're putting on the clothing to be able to go into the next world. V'zeu kamo im yomru le'echad manu l'cha zuhuv ma'atzmecha v'ani yasham l'cha od schar tirchecha u'misha melubash kulo olu l'mayla. Again, the more that we're wearing, the more of this levush that we're wearing, the higher and the higher that we go. So we'll stop reading it from there. But I think just to tie it all together, what you have here is a presentation going back to the words of the Mishnah that this world is a preparation for the next world. Prepare yourself in this world in order that you get into the next world. And 1 hour or moment in this world of Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim is better than the next world. And 1 moment of pleasure in the next world is better than all of this world. What you see is that there's a dynamic interplay between this world and the next world. And what our goal is here, right now, in this world, is to prepare for the next world. That's simple. That's obvious, right? But I think what we're adding with the metaphors and we're adding with the analysis is that the interplay is stronger because you can get elements of the next world in this world, right? The prosdor, that entranceway, is not just a pointless game or matrix where you are just, you know, you have to earn it, and in order to earn it, you got to work really, really, really hard, and then hopefully you'll get in. That's not what we're talking about here. We have such an additional elements here from the analysis that it's through preparing for what is going to get us that pleasure in the next world, we get the pleasure here and now. On a small micro level that we can't even fathom how much better it's going to be. But by doing the tshuva and ma'asim tovim, by taking that moment and turning towards and focusing and capturing the power of each moment that we have, we can, in that moment, get a me'ein olam haba. We can encapsulate the pleasure of the next world in this world. And the more moments and the more turning towards and the more passion and the more love that we can infuse of spirituality in our days, the more Olam Haba we are going to experience now and the more Olam Haba we are going to build and gain and garner to be able to go and get it in the next world as well. So one leads to the other, but you experience one as a microcosm of the next, of the other. So I think that we can all, now that we have many moments, and maybe we're all struggling and dealing and doing different things at this point in time with our time, but that we are all home, as it were, and we have lots of different moments throughout our day. And to the extent that we can capture those moments and bank them, as it were, for pleasure now and for pleasure in the next world, we'll be well on our way to getting a big, nice, large portion of the next world and having the pleasure that comes with it in this world as well.